Now, you realize the globalists never give up. And funny thing, they're going to go back and use some of their old plays from their playbook.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
America's chickens are coming home to roost.
And I welcome you to the Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I've got a lot of stories that I want to share today. Yeah, America's chickens are coming home to roost or something like that. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. Just a lot of little news stories that have been out there over the past 4 or 5 days. Sometimes I just don't get a chance to deal with them. I like to sometimes look them over, think about it, and see where these news stories actually fit in the grand scheme of things. Saw several, and I find them troubling, and I find them angering, and I find them deeply concerning. I saw this story, and many of you may have seen it as well. This comes out of the state of Maryland, a state that, when you think of its history and what it's become, it's really concerning. Maryland is become an intellectual and spiritual sewer. Sorry, but it is. And it's run by reprobates, fools, idiots, and morons, to be polite. And I'm just telling you, this is the truth. It's becoming a very sicko state. I saw this story. Maryland's most magnificent miss is a mister. You may have seen the story, a brutally honest headline as we went into the weekend. I never had a chance to address it. As Miss Maryland, this man in a dress will interact with kids, and it's happened. The Miss Maryland pageant, you know, the beauty pageant, that kind of thing, had an intensely competitive field. Lots of ladies trying to try out, and each vying for the top scores in poise, beauty, and most of all, femininity. Well, last Thursday night, out of all the beautiful women who competed, Miss Maryland USA pageant crowned a man as Miss Maryland. And having earned his crown, he vows to use his new title to help achieve world peace. You know, isn't that what they always said in the past? Yes, I'm going to be out there for world peace. He goes by the name of Bailey Ann, and he lives the way he imagines a woman would, according to Bailey's social media accounts. It is also connected in several key ways, scary enough, to our U.S. military. Bailey claims to be married to a male active duty Marine, and I'm not talking trans, I'm talking a biological male, and works with or for the USO, doing exactly what he would be doing, or she doing, or it. I have a hard time following this. But you got this man pretending that he's a woman who just won Miss Maryland. You know, I look at what's happening in women's sports. I'm looking at what's happening with this entire transgender movement. And it really disgusts me. I mean, it angers me. It disgusts me. This is not normal. This is mental illness. This is demonic possession. This is weirdness. This is unnatural. Yet we are promoting it and we're demanding. See, this is where the globalists come in. The globalists demand you thoroughly accept this. I mean, you have to accept this. This is the new normal. And if you don't like the new normal, we will take care of you and fix you. You have schools that are pushing this on ever increasingly younger children. Public schools. Public, government, financed, taxpayer paid for schools are pushing this insanity, pushing this evil, and that's exactly what it is. It's no, look, I'm sorry. You can say that, well, you're not sounding very kind, and you're a preacher too, aren't you? No, I'm just telling you the truth. This is an abomination. This is not normal. And pushing hormones on little children that, you know, look, we don't let little five-year-olds get tattoos, do we? I mean, come on, you wouldn't let a five, maybe some would, I don't know. But, you know, we don't let them make decisions about smoking or drinking when they're five or six because their minds are not developed. They're not ready. They're not mature. We really shouldn't be having sexual discussions with them either because, once again, their minds are not fully developed and grown, and there's a lot of information lacking. They're just not prepared. Yet the evil sickos of the world today want to keep pushing this increasingly to younger and younger kids. We're not talking those that are going into puberty. We're talking 5 and 6 year olds. Why does the leftist world want to indoctrinate young children about gender and sexuality, homosexuality? Why is this being pushed? What is the true agenda? Number one, it goes into contradiction, as many of you can thoroughly understand, of God's plan for a family. The Bible says a man leaves his mother and father and a woman leaves her home and the man and woman become as one. Not two men, not two women, man and a woman. And they have children together, they raise them together in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Now, the evil functions or functionaries of this world, the demons hate this concept because it's a godly one and they hate anything good and godly. So they must distort it. They must wreck it. They must go after the children. They must indoctrinate them to not believe in what God has demanded and created. And under the guise of teachers in kindergarten, preschool, first, second, and third grade, they want to push this stuff. And they are. And you may believe it's not happening, but it is. And then you get states like Maryland. Funny, when you look at its history, it makes no sense, but look where they are today. For them to have a pageant and crown a man Miss Maryland, it's an abomination. And I really believe, just like with sports, you got all these men competing in volleyball, basketball, and anything else, track and field. Is this normal? Are these men? Are these manly men? No, these are very sick and very deranged individuals. They need help, not encouragement to continue in their illness. I've said it before. I have a hard time discerning, is this a mental illness? And I don't think that it is. Or is this demonic influence to destroy an individual? And that's what I truly believe this transgenderism primarily is. The odds of somebody having, let's just use the word, a biological problem, a deformity of birth, so to speak, it's super rare. I mean, it's super rare. I understand it can happen in a sin-distorted world, but to have men that wake up one day, like Richard Levine, a physician living in Pennsylvania, married with children, and deciding one day, I want to go by the name Rachel. I'm Rachel. My name is now Rachel Levine. You got to call me Rachel or you're a hateful person. How does somebody like Richard Levine wake up one morning with this idea?
Man, I feel like a woman.
Now, I'm trying to get in my mind, when did this become a thing? I mean, for many of us today, it seems like it's been around a long time, only because the media shouts it and screams it from the rooftops. And our schools push it on our young kids. And we're supposed to believe this has been thoroughly normal since the beginning of time. That gender has always been fluid. Matter of fact, some people really believe there are 62 genders. And maybe we and preferred pronouns. When did all this become a thing? I try to find that point in history where the deviation occurred. Now, I've said many times in the past on this program, a little change in course may not seem like much early on, but over time it can be a huge difference compared to the destination you desire. If I'm traveling over the water, let's say from one continent to the other, and you may not think, you know, so what if he's off a couple of degrees in his trip? By the time you go thousands of miles, you could be hundreds, if not thousands of miles in the wrong location, just being off a small amount. And so these little deviations, as a society, we don't see the path and we don't see where the destination is until it's right there in front of us. And we wonder, how did we get here? Some little deviation. I think a lot of this started happening at a higher rate of speed beginning around 2009. Now, there were a lot of things going on for the 10, 20 years before, don't get me wrong. But it seems like there's an acceleration, kind of like the snowball going down the hill. It gets a little bit bigger and a little bit faster and a little bit more dangerous as it picks up weight and speed coming down the hill like an avalanche. We saw by the year 2015, it didn't take long from 2009 to 2015 when the rainbow lights were up on the White House and we celebrated men marrying men and women marrying women and making an abomination and just a mockery of the institution of marriage as God ordained it. And we were told we must accept this. And there was some pushback. But overall, when you think about it now, I was looking at a couple of things online to purchase, and some of it had to do with, you know, getting a picture possibly printed. And I was looking at, you know, how to get a frame for a wedding picture. And this is a while back, and I'm looking, and they're showing all of these gay weddings. I mean, it's just like half of the weddings are gay weddings that they're pushing and promoting. I can think of places in Georgia, in the mountains of Georgia, so-called red Bible-believing country, that have these venues, these destination places, and they're pushing gay weddings to people in Atlanta. Come up from Atlanta to the beautiful Georgia mountains, and they're looking for homosexual weddings. Big business. When did this become a thing? I mean, when was this mainstreamed? And why is it mainstreamed? I'm not going to spend too much time on this topic. I just wanted to get this understanding out there. We've got men pretending that they're women. You got this guy, you know, now Miss Marilyn? Give me a break. And I guess the next stop is going to be the Miss USA pageant. I guess it's just going to be, we'll just call it the men pageant, because and men's sports, because there's going to be no women's sports left if all these trans men can just hop in and take over swimming, take over anything. By the way, real quick, I know a lot of you may spend a little bit too much time on social media, and be careful what you share. I see a lot of stories, and they're all fake, phony, and fraudulent. Ooh, Riley so-and-so is sued, and now Leah Thomas has to give back her medals. It's a garbage story. Stop spreading it. Would you please vet anything you post? Don't just post it because you want to believe it. 9 times out of 10, you're going to look like an idiot. I'm serious. You are going to look like an idiot. There is a concerted effort out there. Listen to me carefully, people. There is a concerted effort to plant stories out there with these satire websites that are designed to make Christians and conservatives look like idiots. And you look like idiots every time you see the story. Oh, I got to share this story on Facebook right now because everyone's got to see this. You come off like a moron. When you see something like that, do a little research. Spend 2 or 3 minutes. You'll find out, like I do, that 99 times out of 100, these things are just garbage, clickbait stories. And you are killing your credibility every time you share it. So now we have men in women's sports, men now competing in Miss America pageants, and on it goes. When does this silliness end? I think it ends when Jesus returns, because I think that we as a nation here in the United States are too far gone to be redeemed. What do you mean, Bob? I think we are too far gone as a nation to be redeemed. We have squandered the blessings that God has given us. And for that, we are going to end up paying a price. I can't say it enough. And I'll talk about that a little later on the program today. Got another story that I want to share with you that ought to just excite you. Over the nearly 4 years we have done this radio program, we have spent a pretty good amount of time discussing
COVID-19.
It's kind of funny how many people were deplatformed, called liars, misinformation spreaders, disinformation sources, getting kicked off YouTube, getting kicked off Facebook, getting kicked off all kinds of social media and other platforms. And it turns out everything we were saying for almost 4 years ended up being correct. Isn't that amazing? And notice the war that was placed upon anybody trying to tell the truth. Now, I've said this, and I'm just going to do this very quickly. A lot of doctors are still scared to death because it's not the way it was 25 and 30 years ago. Doctors generally do not own their own practice anymore. Too many of them work for these big companies. It's just easier since 2010 and the implementation of Obamacare here in the United States. And of course, if you're in Canada where it's socialized medicine and you really work for the government anyway, you know, you don't dare speak against the government, or in the case of the United States, the big corporations that have been blessed by the government to handle health care, the big clinics. And so many of these doctors are in a practice owned by a large clinic to take care of the billing and the lab stuff, you know, all that's required. But if you decide to speak against the norm in a hospital about the COVID protocols, you could get fired. You could lose your job, your pension, everything you've invested in your life. It's up for grabs. And so during this entire pandemic, things were done and doctors were often afraid to speak out, but not all. And some did lose their licenses and are having to fight to get them back, but they're being proven to be right. New York Times even did a story just a day or two ago. Talking about, yeah, I guess it did come from a lab, COVID-19. It came from a lab. How about gain of function? It's real. And why is there such a distrust for the government? Because they lied. It's real easy to figure that one out. It doesn't take a big journalist from the New York Times to figure that out. That was pretty obvious 3 and 4 years ago. And someday soon, a lot of these people pushing the COVID control narrative are going to regret they ever did it. They're going to regret getting these professionals, people like Dr. Peter McAuliffe and a lot of friends. They've published a new study about the origins of the more current thing. Now, remember, Dr. Peter McAuliffe was, you know, just destroyed, or they tried to destroy him and many others, because he was challenging the fake, phony, and fraudulent government narrative regarding COVID-19 and all the stuff that followed right down to the vaccines. And so you've got a group of very aware doctors that have decided we're not going to buy into the lies anymore. And so this story came out, and I think that it needs to be, you need to understand this, because I was saying at the beginning of the program, the globalists have a playbook. They keep reusing parts of it over and over again. Fear is one of the motivators, scaring people, controlling food supplies, all of these things that they use to try to herd you into thinking the way you're supposed to be thinking. Well, right now, we have to, you know, you got Dr. McAuliffe and many of his friends published a new study about the origins of bird flu. Now, what you need to know is that Dr. McAuliffe is looking into bird flu and not liking what he is seeing. Just a couple of days ago, he described his study's conclusion on X, formerly known as Twitter. And he says the new study presents strong evidence that the current H5N1 bird flu, and he gives all the various scientific numbers and names in the outbreak, he said is a result of, you ready for this? It is the result of a laboratory leak from the USDA Southeast Poultry Research Laboratory in Athens, Georgia, and the Aramis Medical Center in Rotterdam, the Netherlands. How about that? Now, before the pandemic, the highly credentialed Dr. McAuliffe was just a busy clinical cardiologist, researcher, and prolific study author. But the pandemic transformed him into one of the most prominent and influential vaccine critics and just really a great thinker. And Dr. McAuliffe is now disassembling the silly bird flu narrative in an explosive study that properly cited virologist, you know, Gert van den Bosch has agreed with. The study persuasively argues that the two research labs, the one in Athens, Georgia, the one in the Netherlands, are causing the current bird flu pandemic. Both labs have been engaged, you ready for this, on gain-of-function research on bird flu. McAuliffe and his team created a map showing the spread, and yeah, it just ties right back to Athens, Georgia, here in the Western Hemisphere, and to the Netherlands in Europe. McAuliffe said they pulled the wool over our eyes with COVID by hiding its lab's origins until it was too late. And this time, Dr. McAuliffe isn't letting him get away with it. If they want to fire up a bird flu pandemic this year, by the way, wouldn't that be just in time for the 2024 election and bird brain Biden trying to get back into office? Come on. Actually, I shouldn't insult birds like that. I think they're vastly more intelligent than the President of the United States right now. The very compromised and very evil President of the United States. Besides Biden's nuclear warmongering, you got these virus scientists and their gain-of-function experiments to predict the next pandemic. And I can remember when Fauci was saying at the beginning of the Trump years in 2017 that this president will face a pandemic. How did he know? How did he know? And now they're talking about, they're trying to resurrect one. Like I say, the same playbook. Hey, if it works, it works. We can maybe get more mail-in ballots. Maybe some of our newfound friends that came across the border can register to vote in states like Georgia or South Carolina or some other place. They'll try to find a way to do this. You know it. These are evil people, friends. And bird flu, well, the bird flu thing is just another way of coming after us. They're coming after us on many fronts. I'm going to go ahead now and take my break. And I've got a lot I want to share on the other side. But I just wanted to make sure you understood that they'll never give up. Evil never gives up. They have nothing to lose. They know when Jesus comes, they have an eternity waiting for them. They've got nothing to lose. All they can do is just take more people with them into the misery. Are you going to let them? Or are you going to fight back and say, I'm not buying this. I'm not buying into your trans agenda. I'm not buying into sexualizing children. I'm not buying into gain of function. I'm not buying into your pandemics. I'm not buying into your food shortages and a bunch of other stuff that we're going to talk about in just a minute. There is an evil plan, and there's a reason they have this plan. And you need to understand it. Do you believe in the mission and ministry of this radio program? Let me explain for new listeners. We are on Conviction Radio, an online station. We're thrilled to be there. But this program is also heard on international shortwave. And most people that have listened to this program, even those now listening as a podcast in many locations, first found the program on shortwave radio. And we're thrilled. You know, there are thousands, if not, sometimes I think there's like a million podcasts out there, literally. How do you get above the noise with a million people trying to do a podcast, and a lot of them are pretty bad. I hate to say it. I mean, they mean well, but they're not in the radio business, and they learn really quick that, man, doing a daily podcast is not easy. It takes a lot of time, effort, and work. You know, I don't do this program in an hour and have it done. It's not like I can sit down for one day and knock out five programs. The amount of preparation, work, prayer, study, assembly, editing, and then distribution and all that goes with it, it takes a lot of time. And I do this for no pay, because God is taking care of my need. What I come to you for is to cover the broadcast airtime. The airtime is not free. And the thousands that listen during the course of a month as a podcast, most will tell me that they discovered this program on shortwave, and now they have the convenience of listening on their schedule. Would you help keep us on shortwave? By the way, we'd like to raise a little extra this month of June, if we could. I'd like to raise an extra $1,000 this month. Doesn't sound like a lot when you think of the airtime, but I'd like to and invest that into doing more with the podcast side in distribution. There's a lot that I can do, but I need a little bit of help to get the website, to get the podcast site, and all this done, and I just don't have the time. And so I'd like to raise that extra this month, if it's at all possible. And, you know, right now we're on WRMI. We will be there. We will be on, it looks, for a while on WTWW. We've pretty much narrowed it down to two airings a day. And so far, so good. But we need your help to stay on the air. And so that's why I come to you. Now, you can visit our website, which is Truth, truth2ponder.com. You can find out where to hear the program, what times of the day it is on, the stations that it is on. You can also find the various platforms that you can hear the program, whether it be online radio or as a podcast. All of that is at the website. And there's also a tab, Would You Support Us, which will direct you to one of two ways of helping us. You can either give online. We use Give, Send, Go, a Christian organization. We do not use GoFundMe. I will never use GoFundMe. I don't trust them. I don't like PayPal, though occasionally I have to use them. But, you know, it is what it is. If you need to use PayPal, just send me a direct email, bob@truth2ponder.com, and I'll give you the information if you need to use that. But as a general rule, I don't like to use it. But I will if I have to. Or you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie is 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Bikurim, Shavuot, and the Power to Turn. Coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're really going to love. In the ancient Hebrew calendar, there's a mystery that gives us a revelation into Pentecost and the Spirit and what it's really all about. In the Hebrew calendar, there's a day called Yom Bikurim, the day of the first fruit. On that day, the first fruit of the harvest was reaped, lifted to God. Then comes a countdown from that day, 49 days. The next festival comes the day after, called Shavuot, which in Greek is Pentecost. It's a Hebrew feast. It means the two are joined together, the day of the first fruit that begins the countdown, and then the 49th and 50th day that becomes the celebration of the harvest, Pentecost. What does it tell you? Well, Messiah rose on the day of the Bikurim as the first fruits of God. On the day of the first fruits, that's the resurrection. And then Then 50 days later, on the day of Shavuot, came the Holy Spirit. So what's it saying? Those 2 days are always linked together. So if you're living in the power of the Spirit, that means you're living in the power of the resurrection. And what is that power? That's the power. The resurrection is to turn everything around, to go against the flow of the world, to turn the natural way of the world on its head, to undo death, to change the world, to break the inertia, the momentum of sin and death, and change it and unleash everything, roll the stone away. So if you're in the Spirit, that's the power you have. That's what Pentecost is about. You've got the power to change the course of your life and your habits and your ways, everything by the power of God. That's why the book of Acts is so much filled with power of change, to walk in the new. So walk in the Spirit, my friend. You too will have Messiah's power of resurrection, and you too can turn your life upside down. Want more? Ask for the Passover Shavuot Resurrection Power. Now, how'd you like to be faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound? Well, how about just move mountains? Well, you can with Sapphires, a super spiritual supplement to turn your walk into a super life with God. Plus, the incredible Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD, all free. How do you get it? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. To receive your free gifts, just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's Yeshua-1. Now, listen, I invite you to join me in the Great Commission to bring salvation back to the Jewish people and reach so many unreached peoples all around the world. The farthest way your life can ever impact the nations through shortwave radio. Amazing. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's Yeshua, YESHUA, and the number 1. Or write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's Box 1111. It's Lodi, New Jersey, and it's 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend and Messiah. Hasar Shalom, the Prince of Peace.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Everybody head down, pick yourself a pronoun. Join the resistance on government assistance. Stop all the hate as you advocate violence. Block and suppress anyone you want silence. Take what you want, cause what you want is what you order. Call everyone a fascist till they're all controlled.
And I welcome you back to part 2 of our Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Got several stories that I want to share. We were talking in the first segment. One of the, shall we say, COVID stories, by the time we got to 2021, and they're pushing this new vaccine. Well, a lot of people, myself included, felt something didn't feel right. And it's not that I had a distrust for anybody in particular in government at the time. Well, I did to a degree. I'd already learned in my work, in my research, working in emergency management and starting this radio program, I learned that many of these so-called experts that were being put on television, being worshipped like deities, were just out-and-out liars and politicians and opportunists. And they didn't have any compunction or any guilt in their heart at all for lying to you. And even to this day, the arrogance that they hold is just demonic. That's the only word that comes to my mind. One of the things that we said early on this program, and I was citing those that had proven themselves during the pandemic to be trustworthy, that felt something didn't make sense about these mRNA vaccines. And I had one guy that said, you know, look up the company Moderna in particular and their website. It was going to be like downloading software to the body to change this and cure everything from, you know, baldness to cancer or who knows what. And the thing was, until the pandemic, and after, what is it, like 9 years at that point, Moderna had never gotten a real product to the marketplace. They were raising billions of dollars in stock and research, and their research department, I learned later, was kind of like a revolving door. They couldn't get all this stuff to work, and they just kept holding out hope. Bancel is his last name. He was traveling the world, Stefan Bancel, you know, trying to raise money, promising a breakthrough any minute now, any minute. Well, we now know that NIH and others and Dr. Fauci had investments in Moderna and what they were trying to do. and pushing the mRNA vaccines. There was also inclusion into remdesivir and other things. So there was this follow the money, as the old saying goes. I mean, that's what it came down to be honest. And we learned early on, you know, you remember the original narrative, then it came out from the White House in 2021. It came from the CDC. It came from Dr. Fauci. If you just get the vaccine, you will not get COVID. You will not spread COVID. And you can take off your face diaper. It's pretty much what they were saying. You know, you could either get the one shot, the one and done, which was Johnson & Johnson, which dumped off the market pretty quick. Or you get the two-shot Moderna, two-shot Pfizer, whatever, you know, whatever. And then after you've done what you're supposed to do, you can dutifully take off your face mask. You don't need six-foot distancing because you're bulletproof. And I remember saying on this program, what evidence do you have that this stuff actually works? Well, it creates spike proteins, but does that stop you from getting COVID? That's the question that many people like Dr. McAuliffe and others were asking at the time. Does it really work? Well, we think it does. See, in all the work in trying to get the emergency use authorization, which means that they had to suppress any other possible treatment like hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, you couldn't use that because if you could, then you couldn't get an emergency use authorization for this slimy, disgusting product that doesn't work, that may kill you. And it has killed people. I've lost a friend to it. I know firsthand. What we saw happen was they would say you wouldn't get COVID. Then remember when the narrative changed a little bit? Well, there have been a few breakthrough cases, but they're just that. They're just rare, super rare breakthrough cases. And the vaccine is safe and effective. Just breakthrough. Well, maybe it isn't quite breakthrough. There are maybe a few more than we'd like to have. But don't you know that it keeps you from dying in the hospital? That's what it does now. It keeps you from dying in the hospital. That too is a lie. Let me explain why. For those that are new to the program, we started hearing in 2021 about a variant that came out called Omicron. An Omicron variant of COVID was pretty much a predictable kind of variant where the virus becomes more infectious, but as it is changing naturally, it doesn't kill the host as readily. In other words, it becomes less deadly and less symptomatic. Now, for some people, it can still be pretty severe, but overall, people that came down with Omicron, their symptoms were much milder and deaths were far less. So the vaccine, once again, had nothing to do with the hospitalization, because when you look at what people were coming down with, they were coming down with Omicron, not the original version of the SARS-CoV-2. So they were trying to have the vaccine take credit for something the vaccine was never doing. And they kept pushing this and mandating it. If you couldn't go to Yale University, you couldn't go to Harvard, you couldn't go to Princeton unless you're vaccinated. And young people don't have a risk to this disease, to this virus, but they have a greater risk to what the vaccine could do to them. And we're already seeing that play out now. They tried to measure antibody responses and mortality in the jabbed and unjabbed. You remember when we were told by the president it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated? Well, it turned out that's a lie too. Researchers found that among COVID patients, mortality was significantly higher in vaccinated patients compared to unvaccinated patients. And that was between May 2020 and November of 2022. 70% higher. Your odds of dying were 70% higher if you were vaccinated compared to only 37%. And that's adjusting for comorbidities and all the numbers. And even more fascinating, they found that the vaccinated patients had a higher total, what's called the IgG4 antibody level, suggesting that jab people develop an improper immune tolerance, allowing spike proteins to run wild. Now, these antibodies are a normal but unusual part of the immune system that usually activate in response to allergens when the body tries to stop an immune overresponse by ignoring particular foreign proteins like pollen. Well, the study concluded that the observation of higher mortality among the vaccinated versus the non-vax, everything we were saying. We know now the shots were originally sold on the false premise they would flatten the curve, didn't help us achieve herd immunity, had nothing to do with it. And when that narrative collapsed, the bureaucrats and the pharma shills, they're pretty evil people too. It's all about the money. Shifted to arguing that the shots still protected people, though somehow reducing the severity of their infection. It could have been worse without it. And as I told you, that's not true. And you still have these companies trying to come up with another bivariant vaccine. Or maybe they'll want you to do the bird flu vaccine. Who knows what they want you to do? I don't like to gloat in this, and I'm really not trying to. But honestly, we were right. We were able, what we did here at this program, I had so many well-meaning people sending me all, Bob, you got to see this Rumble video or that one over here, this, that, read this story. And I would start and I would listen to that voice inside. I'd say, Lord, is this worth looking at? And 99 times out of 100, some of the stuff that was being sent to me, I would hear this literally voice inside saying, turn it off, don't waste your time. And right in front of me would be these simple stories from real doctors with real experience, with real credentials that were questioning, and they're the ones being deplatformed. And a lot of people would not quote them anymore. But something said, these are the people you need to be reading and studying. And there's so many that I did. And I look back now, and these were the ones that I really believe God had laid on their hearts the truth. And I would read and study what they were sharing and share it with you. And I can honestly say, when it comes to dealing with this pandemic, I've never had to take back anything that we've said since this radio program started. I mean, let's be honest. Think about all the weird stuff that happened. Flattening the curve, herd immunity, we heard all that. And then you had people like Fauci saying, well, natural immunity is not near as good as the vaccinated. Well, the vaccine didn't do anything, you moron. I'm sorry. Fauci ought to have his license revoked. And he needs to be investigated for his part in the millions of deaths across the world, because he was funding this research that should never have been funded, and not in a place like China. And now I have to wonder what's going on at the University of Georgia in Athens area, at the USDA doing gain of function on bird flu. Why are they doing that? Are we that insane in this country that we got to play with viruses that can leak? It's like madmen that are running this. And think of all the stupid stuff that happened. We know that they never protected these vaccines, people from severe COVID cases. And actually, the truth is, it actually increased the risk of bad cases and increased the risk of dying. But they don't want to admit it. But the numbers, you can't lie. You can sit there and lie all you want, but the numbers don't tell that story. Think of all the stupidity. The lockdowns, stay at home, face diapering, 6-foot rules, even outside. Somebody's swimming out there in the Pacific Ocean. They had to arrest him because you're going to kill everybody out there by yourself in the ocean. This is how insane we became. Australia, they went bonkers and nuts. I mean, I was waiting for the day that they were going to start tackling people and force an injection on them. That's how close we were getting in places like Australia. And I'm sure in Great Britain, they were thinking about it. New Zealand, I know they were thinking about it. And now everything we were saying turned out to be true. And what do they want to do? Oh, just forgive and forget. We were meaning well. No, you weren't. You were meaning evil and you knew it when you did it. This is what really burns me. These government overlords, like Gretchen Whitmer up in Michigan, Kathy Hochul in New York, Governor Murphy at the time in New Jersey and other places, these people went just absolutely insane, power-hungry fools. Got to shut down gyms, got to shut down this. You know, we could keep the Walmart open. We could keep certain big stores open, but we're going to destroy every small business we can. And now we've got a buffoonish president talking about the great economy he's building. No, he's just getting back to where we were in 2019 before this pandemic was unleashed on the world. And now as we come into another election season, I fear there'll be an attempt. I don't think it's going to be near as successful, but there's going to be an attempt to use bird flu as an excuse for mail-in balloting and no IDs and you know, just request your ballot. And I wonder how many people that just came from Guatemala or through Guatemala or from wherever will be somehow getting a ballot that'll go into some box that is put outdoors somewhere in some blue county to keep the numbers strong enough to win a state like a Pennsylvania or a Michigan or a Georgia or an Arizona or a Wisconsin. I don't think they're going to give up. I think they're going to really keep trying and trying and trying. And because they have, once again, I keep telling you, they have no conscience. And then we find out the 6-foot rule. Now, I shared the real story on that. You may have forgotten it. You know, Dr. Fauci says, well, it just kind of appeared. Well, what was the scientific research? I don't know. Well, he was right about that. There is none. I do know the real story. I learned about it back in 2020 in the work that I was doing. See, back during the George W. Bush administration first term, I think it was during somewhere before 2004, there was a typical, just a little bit worse than normal flu outbreak. And so the White House was soliciting ideas from people on how to, you know, how to avoid getting the flu. You know, normal hand washing, this, that, and the other. And I kid you not about this. It was a fifth grader, maybe a fourth, but I'm pretty sure it was a fifth grader, wrote a letter that said, maybe everybody should stay 6 feet apart. This is from a fifth grader. Maybe if everybody stays 6 feet apart, then we won't get the flu from other people. And somewhere this little letter got dumped into a file folder somewhere electronically, you know, ideas for, you know, stopping the flu or contagious disease. And somehow it popped out in 2020, and all of a sudden we're walking one way in grocery stores and staying 6 feet apart. Remember those silly little discs on the ground? 6 foot rule, 6 foot, 6 foot. Remember that? All bogus, all nonsensical, all silliness. And then when we could finally get back to a restaurant, you came in wearing your face diaper, then you could take it off when you sat down. I guess the viruses must travel only at 5 feet in height above your head. So when you're eating, it doesn't matter. Do you understand? And how many people have been mentally damaged because of this? No, I'm serious. How many people have been just medically, mentally damaged because of this? I see them all the time. Here in Southwest Virginia, I won't say the store, but there's this guy, and he wears this huge black face diaper thing. He works at a grocery store, and he is determined. We know now that your odds of getting COVID actually increase if you wear a face diaper. They don't decrease. They slightly, not a big number, few percent, goes up, not down. Yet people have been so beaten up over their head, and they live in such fear. I think there are tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people in the United States that have been mentally damaged by the lies. And my question is, when are those that told the lies knowingly shared those lies for political gain and power. When are they going to be held accountable? See, the thing now is you got the New York Times. Well, maybe we were wrong. See, they've been setting up this stage for about a year and a half. Well, we meant well. I mean, really, we meant well. So why are you coming after us? Can't we just forgive and forget? Of course, they're going to want to bring back bird flu in the interim, and we'll forgive and forget after the election, maybe. Depends who wins. This is where we are as a nation. I saw another story that I'll kind of finish up with today. There's a Democrat candidate for Congress in New York State, the 21st District. And this individual believes that conservatives and anybody that believes in the concept of Make America Great Again, anybody that votes for Trump, this Democrat running for Congress believes there should be re-education camps. Boy, doesn't this sound like North Korea to you, or maybe Cuba, or maybe the former Soviet Union, maybe Mao Zedong's China? I got news for this guy. You're not supposed to say that stuff out loud. Democrats are expected to act as defenders of democracy, you fool, and pledge unity before cracking down on their political enemies. I mean, this clown believes that people that are conservatives are dangerous and need to be re-educated. Well, I got news for you. These people that demand that, they are among the most pagan among us. I'll say it again. They are the pagans that live among us. Recycled paganism is back and it's here to stay. I can't deny it. And it invents itself in terms like science. You know, follow the science. It invents itself in freedom of choice for a woman. It invents itself that gender is fluid. It invents itself in all these weird things that have come about over the past 10 to 15 years. We've always had trouble, and it's always been increasing, but it's as we are getting closer to that day of judgment, it's speeding up. The intensity is ramping up. And I sometimes think I'm seeing the target come into place. We may, friends, listen to this carefully. We may get a brief window of opportunity to do the Lord's work in the days and maybe the next couple of years down the road. But I really believe that when that window opens, it will close. And when it closes, it's going to be a changed world. And it may not be the Great Tribulation, but trust me, friend, it will be a time of intense tribulation. Christians will be persecuted. Christians will be mocked. They already are. Facebook is already clamping down. YouTube will be clamping down. All the social media. And I'm going to share a story maybe on Thursday regarding social media. I'll say this much. I worked in emergency management, worked on some major planning exercises, huge ones, big ones. And one of the guys that I worked with from FEMA, actually one of the few people I could really trust, and he went by an assumed name when he was with us. He lived somewhere south of Atlanta. His neighbors knew him by his real name and thought he was a pharmaceutical salesman until he went to work, and then he stopped off and changed cars and driver's licenses and everything else, and then he would proceed up to work where we were at. And we spent a lot of time, and we were talking about social media. And he looked at me one day, and I was saying, you know, Facebook, it's quite a growing operation. Now, this is back in 2009 compared to what it is today. He looked at me with the most serious look, and he said, Bob, do you really think that two geeky guys developed this in a college dorm room? Do you think that they had the wherewithal, the money, and the background to make this happen? He said, I can assure you there's a lot of spook money, meaning, you know, CIA and everything else involved with these social media platforms that are growing. It is the way government can harvest information from you. They can't get any other way. And it's kind of a win-win. Corporations can harvest that same data to bug you for advertising. and it also becomes a way for the globalists to control the conversation. How many of you churches out there are too dependent on Facebook? Oh, we stream every Sunday on Facebook. Well, you may not be this Sunday. Unless you've got a page up for 60 days and 100 followers, your streaming days just came to an end. You may not know it, but trust me, that's going to happen this Sunday. I know I'm in a church ministry. We stream and I follow this. This is what I do, so don't tell me I'm wrong. Some people try to do that at times. Where did you come up with that stuff, Bob? That's some conspiracy theory? No, it came right from Facebook. If you'd look, I'm very careful with the information that I share because, you know, a lot of people depend on this program. Now, we'll change direction tomorrow. Thursday, I'm going to get into some other topics I didn't have time to get into today. How we're being misled and the dangers that we're living in this time. I think the church has been so busy entertaining itself. Sorry, some of you churches are too busy into your entertainment and smoke machines and light shows and music that makes me feel good. That stuff's not going to carry you through a time of tribulation. Your people will be gone. When the economy is bad, when there's a little bit of pressure and coming back on them, a lot of your people that are there, happy, happy, in your church will be gone. They're not going to be there. Will your church survive? I know it's a hard thing to say, and a lot of people don't want to receive it. Our freedom of religion under the First Amendment here in the United States is drying up. Its days are increasingly numbered. Because they're going to have, it's going to take time. And some of the things people send me, it's not going to happen right away. But the Bible can be considered by some hate speech. And in one little state, one little community at a time, it's going to be dealt with. Funny, you can burn down a courthouse. You can riot, burn a police car. You can burn down an entire store. And nobody in the government cares. But man, if you take a little moped and mess up a pride crosswalk, they'll come after you. Do you see where our nation has gone? We are now a reprobate nation. We're no longer one nation under God. We're one nation under many pagan gods. And a lot of people are refusing to see it. But you're going to have to. We are living in an age that I don't think many people that claim to be Christians are prepared for. And we'll see a great falling away of those that were really never in the faith. When they actually have to stand for something, oh man, they're going to be gone. Once again, I'm going to ask you, do you believe in the mission and ministry of Truth to Ponder? Would you help keep us on shortwave? We really could use your support. Would you consider a small gift? Maybe God has blessed you in a large one. Whatever you can do, we can use it. We have no paid staff here at all, myself included. I'm not paid. But we do have an airtime bill each month. And if you can help us, make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio. And the mailing address is Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E. Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code in Chilhowie, 24319. You can also use our website, truth2ponder.com. You can find out the mailing address and also how to use Give, Send, Go. Give, Send, Go. Website, truth2ponder.com. Once again, the mailing address, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. That's 24319. And we will see you tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
Thank you.